You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Good afternoon and welcome once again to Event Talk by Planners for Planners, brought to you by eventinterface.com, an event management and attendee engagement software company. And this is Eric Dye. Today we are with Andy Perez, a Los Angeles-based marketing and public relations consultant who has created more than 1,000 events in his career. He did begin his career as an entertainment producer at WGN Radio in Chicago. Mr. Perez, welcome to Event Talk here on EPN.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
You are welcome. So why is public relations an important piece of the planning puzzle as you prepare for an event?
Public relations can take your event and make it much more dynamic. It can take something from straight off the page and create a buzz where people are excited. It puts people into action. Your marketing messages can be fantastic and clear, and you may have your event completely planned out lovely, but it doesn't mean a lot if you don't have people excited about it and talking about it. And that is really going to drive your attendance. It's going to drive your brand and lay a foundation for your future. Third-party testimonial, I think, is one of the biggest benefits that you get out of public relations. You know, I always kind of look at it, Eric, as something as we all respond to hearing. When we hear about something good from someone, we tend to take that endorsement, and it is a bigger meaning for us than just something that we casually see. So, you know, you've probably been in a conversation with someone who says, oh, yeah, I went to that new restaurant down the corner, Al Cafe. It was great. You know, the food was fantastic. The atmosphere is really romantic, and, you know, the prices are great. And you probably said, oh, yeah, I haven't been there. But, you know, later on you're in a conversation, and you're talking to someone, and they're like, oh, yeah, did you ever hear about this place, Al Cafe? I'm looking, and go, oh, yeah, I hear that's a great place. I hear it's romantic. I hear the prices are great, and the food's excellent. You haven't been there. You just heard somebody tell you that. So all of a sudden this endorsement, this third-party testimonial, has made something much more important to you. And now you're curious about it. You're finding out more about it. And other people, you're sharing that information, and a dialogue is created. That's what public relations can do for you. It creates a dialogue.
Now, preparing for an event, what are the key items or areas you want to review to ensure a first-class attendee experience?
Well, in my past, I've worked with a lot of different brands. One of the most amazing, of course, is Disney. And I kind of refer to this as the Disney method. Maybe that I guess they could probably call it that as well. If you've ever been to a Disney park or, you know, one of their cruises or anything like that, you're going to notice that there's so much attention to detail, and everyone's always so impressed about how everything is just polished beyond compare. Well, this whole idea, and I worked with Disney on Ice productions and Disney Live stage show productions for years, and we created all sorts of events. The whole idea behind this is to think about, as a planner, think about all of what your audience is going to experience. Put yourself in the shoes of every person that's going to come through your door and experience it. There's the up-close experience where I kind of refer to it as the money shot. What is that memorable experience of your event going to be? Plan that. Start there. That's the ultimate thing that you want people to leave. If you think about it in terms of a wedding, like a wedding reception, you've got, you know, memorable moments that everyone always talks about. It's the first dance, it's the cutting of the cake, it's the throwing of the bouquet. Those things are things that people always remember and talk about. So for your event, identify what that is. And then, okay, so is it a speech? Is it a video presentation? Is it an activity? So think about that. And then start to move outwards of, like, how everybody is going to see that. What are they seeing through their eyes? What are they going to feel? What is their sense of touch? What are they touching around them? Is it, you know, are they sitting on comfortable chairs? Are they sitting at tables? Are the chairs tall? Are the chairs high? What's the environment of the room? Is it warm? Is it cold? Is there a scent in there? Do you have flowers? What's the sound in the room? Do you have music? Is there an MC? Or is it quiet? Think about all of those different things in the senses, and you start to create this experience. Now, this is a really hard task, Eric, you know, because it's a muscle that you need to build, I think, as event people need to do. And we all have that talent. If we're in events, we've got the talent to do this. This is just the hard work of it. It's thinking about all of these different pieces. And when you start to think about all these different pieces, all sorts of other things fall into place. And that leads me to thinking about not just what that one memorable moment is in your event, it's thinking about the larger experience. What is the entire experience of walking into the place? If you're at a hotel, or you're at, you know, a large outdoor recreation facility, something like that, start thinking about what's it going to be like if I drive onto the spot? What am I going to see in the parking lot? How am I going to get into the parking lot? Is there signage that's going to help me get in there? What's the experience when I'm walking, you know, and to the door? Who's going to greet me at the door? How am I going to know this information? Put yourself into all of these points of view. Literally step into the skin of an attendee, and you start to answer all of these questions, and you see how to troubleshoot your event. This is what Disney does so beautifully. You walk in, and your breath is taken away when you walk into, like, Disneyland. Because it's beautiful. You smell the flowers. You see the characters. You're excited. The music is pumping, and you know, all of a sudden your pulse starts to race. So when you start to put all of these things together, you really begin to troubleshoot your event and create a finer event. Because any kind of issues that come up, you started to think about, and this is what I talk about muscle, you know, training yourself. It's training yourself to think about this, and sometimes it can be really hard to do because you're anticipating everyone's needs. How does someone get in, you know, to the room? How are they experiencing it if they're walking? How do they experience it if they're in a wheelchair? How do they experience it if they have, you know, another kind of disability like sight or sound? Things like that. And all of these things are important. So really, for preparing for an event, Eric, my biggest recommendation is to anticipate the needs of your attendees and then put yourself in the position of various attendees. Imagine the different people who are coming. And from there, you can't go wrong.
Very well explained. I love it. Now, what can a public relations professional bring to the planning process of an event a volunteer or event planner doesn't necessarily have the ability to do?
Well, my first reaction is fabulousness, but you know, but almost anybody could bring that. Really, a PR professional can help take on your event and your purpose of event, your goals, and help refine what your goals are, what your messages are. You're not just throwing an event to satisfy, this is our annual corporate, you know, gathering, or this is our charity fundraiser. It's more than that. It's, you want to, every opportunity, every event is an opportunity to leave your audience with a message, to engage them in that message. So it's a PR person can help you or your organization define what those messages are, refine them into something that's a little more palatable. If you think about it, phone numbers are 7 digits long. They're not longer because we wouldn't remember them. So if you have 15 messages that you're trying to convey to your audience, they're not going to get them all. So maybe it's 3 or 4 messages you're trying to get to them. And a PR person can help you get down to that and understand what's the most important. They're going to help you bridge what your goals are to how people understand them and take your event and make it relevant to the attendee's life. And that way it's going to help create an engagement with the audience. They're going to talk about it. They're going to be excited and take your event further. If your event really doesn't define what your message is to your audience and telling them what's happening, you might as well just have, throw a backyard barbecue. It's just a get-together at home. It's nothing more than that. One of the amazing opportunities that I had in working with a company called the Original Renaissance Pleasure Fair. They are the original folks who started all the Renaissance Fair movement in the United States. And they started out like more than 40 years ago. And, they were, when I started working with them, they were having a difficult time trying to communicate that to all their different audiences. The Renaissance Fair, has a bodiness that adults really like, and there's alcohol that is available, so there's definitely an adult part of it, but there's also a family component to it where there's a lot of fun and activities that somebody attending a Renaissance Fair could see, like sword fighting or, jousting, things like that. And there's an educational component that appeals to families. And so that's a pretty wide spectrum. It's appealing to people who like costumes. It appeals to people who don't like costumes and like to see people in costumes. So they had a lot of difficulty in trying to get their messages together and try and refine that to everyone. And a little bit of what I did as a publicist was help them, get down to what are the most important things that you're trying to communicate, the fun, the experience, the stepping out of the ordinary into a fantasy, and putting an immediacy to it. I think your volunteers and event planners as a whole can certainly do some of this work, but a publicist can help you shape it. And sometimes that's one of the most daunting things about putting together an event. It is such a large thing, whether your event's for 20 people or 2,000 people. All of it is a large thing to think about. And a publicist can help you ensure that your goals are met, that you're communicating your messages, and that you're not forgetting about it through the whole process. And they can help you refine that.
Well, let's say an organization does not have a budget to bring on board a public relations professional. What are some of the things planners or volunteers can do to ensure a successful execution of event PR?
I think one of the smartest examples I've ever seen was the Special Olympics of Southern California. I ran across the marketing communications person there. We were introduced in an event. And a few months later, she gave me a call and said, I really am looking for advice and some guidance. And she put together a board of marketing and PR professionals from around the area that she had met and who were in different industries. Some of us were in live entertainment. Some were in tourism, some in television. There were some retail people, and this mix, she brought together this board who met maybe once a quarter, 2 or 3 times a year maybe, and put together this board, and she was able to, you know, say, this is what our plans are coming up for the next few months, for the year. This is our situation. This is kind of what we're thinking of doing. How would you position this? And, you know, they didn't have a budget to pay for any of this outside advice. It was a volunteer thing, and it was simply a matter of just asking people. And it's quite amazing when you start to ask people, you know, for help, and they're often quite willing to give it. The great thing that came out of this Special Olympics board was every June in Southern California was the major Special Olympics event. And it's what they work for year-round, where children and adults with disabilities compete in a bunch of different events. And it's a huge fundraising thing. Prior to the start of that, about 2 weeks before that, began the torch run. And it began several hundred miles outside of Los Angeles, and it involved people in the community, firefighters, policemen, and some of the athletes running for, you know, different miles, just like the regular Olympics, and passing off of the torch. And it culminated traditionally at the Santa Monica Pier. And everybody's probably seen the Santa Monica Pier in TV and movies. It's the big Ferris wheel on the Pacific Ocean in Los Angeles. So the torch run would end there, where they would light a bigger torch, and that would signify the start of the Special Olympics, and the events would start the next day. Well, the torch run was pretty great, but, you know, running through all these different communities, but it wasn't really gaining any traction as a fundraiser. And we would get media coverage and some bigger public attention when it would end and the bigger flame was lit at the pier. What the board recommended, what we all recommended as this volunteer board, was to flip that around, to start the torch run at the Santa Monica Pier and then move out. Start that a couple of weeks ahead of time, because what that started to do was it created an opportunity earlier on to make more noise, to say to the public, Special Olympics event is happening. You can support the Special Olympics now, and you have an opportunity to attend and show your support. So by doing this, what the PR professionals' insight gave was it gave an opportunity to open up fundraising and get more media attention, and that's exactly what happened. So I'm happy to say that's something that's continued on, you know, since that moment several years ago, that it's become an opportunity that maybe the event folks would not have thought of to position in that way. And that's where bringing together your PR folks and using the resources of your community can really happen. And sometimes it's just a matter of just picking up the phone and asking somebody, what's your advice?
Good stuff. Today we are with Andy Perez, a Los Angeles-based marketing and public relations consultant who has created more than 1,000 events in his career, here on Event Talk by Planners for Planners, brought to you by eventinterface.com. Now, Andy, what is one of the most successful PR activities that you have planned for in regards to an event?
I would have to undoubtedly say it was a Disney on Ice event in downtown Los Angeles. The situation was the Disney on Ice show was playing in the Los Angeles area for a month, and the show featured the Incredibles characters as well as dozens of other Disney characters. And the timing of it was around New Year's. And the situation was, you know, it's a family show, trying to reach out to families, motivate them in a busy time of year, Christmas, to actually spend money and go see a show. And, you know, there's a lot of competition, you know, especially at that time of year when there are family things going on. Just spending time at home with their families is probably the biggest competition. So what we did is I created an event called Say Yes to Health, Diga Si a Salud. It was a bilingual health and fitness New Year's pledge for kids. And what we did was brought in 500 children from the Los Angeles school system to a skating rink in a plaza in downtown LA and created different fitness workout spots around the ice rink and a nutrition corner. So we divided the kids up so they could experience different things of workout and create a pledge that they would pledge to do more activity, to pay attention to their health, and learn about these things. We were able to do all of this through the magic of using Disney characters. The Disney characters did a performance on ice. The skaters from the show taught kids how to skate, and that was one of the physical activities. But we went a step further, and we hired actor Mario Lopez. And Mario brought a whole other level of substance to the show. Mario's really known as a personality who's very physically fit. He even has a fashion line now, and you know, it's something that's about his personality. And he's very relatable. He's also bilingual, and that was really important to us in speaking to Spanish-speaking as well as English-speaking audiences. So we brought it together, and we started this whole event with the kids around the ice rink, and Mario introducing the kids, you know, what's going on, and the show doing a little bit of performance, and then the kids all divided up into the different stations and went and worked out with Mario as well as Mickey and Minnie Mouse and doing, you know, calisthenics and different things and getting tips, and they just kind of moved through all these different stations where they learned to ice skate, they learned to do, you know, some calisthenics, they learned about nutrition, and all of this was, you know, under the messages of getting out to the media, understanding that Disney On is a family program, that it's a brand that understands families and their needs because it cares about your health. And that's what the event was focused on. And it was also timely for the media because it revolved around New Year's. And tying it back into the calendar was really important. And media's always looking at New Year's, you know, the beginning of the year for those New Year's pledges. So we were able to capitalize on all of those things and tie them together. And we wound up getting coverage nationally through Us Weekly, through the Associated Press, through Getty Images, as well as you know, a whole host of local media like the Los Angeles Times and all the TV news stations here. And it was a great event because, one, it served the goals of the brand and it was selling the show. Two, it did that while also giving back to the community. Three, it was timely and relevant to the media, and, you know, putting all of these things together made this one of the most successful engagements Disney Ice I've had in Los Angeles. It actually broke sales records in at the Staples Center, so it was pretty amazing.
Absolutely phenomenal. Now, Andy, sometimes PR means damage control. What do you suggest event planners think about to minimize the possibility of negative public relations related to an event? And in the event damage control is needed, what are some tips you can share to manage this process?
Eric, this goes back to the whole thing I was talking about earlier about the Disney planning. When you start to anticipate needs and you start to think about situations where each member of your audience, how they're experiencing an event, you start to naturally come across problems and you see where where things might break down, where things transitions aren't happening, how your event's moving through smoothly or not smoothly the event. So the biggest thing for damage and crisis is already solved before the event has even started, if you're really putting this thought process into play. What a big thing to think about also with crisis things is whether or not, let me explain it this way. A thing to think about with crisis is who is involved, who is really, what's the issue here? Is the event that's happening, the damage or crisis situation, something at fault of the organization that's putting on the event? Is it something that's happening in the venue, or is it something that's happening outside of it? A case in point for me was Michael Jackson had passed away, and I had Ringling Brothers Circus going into the Staples Center, and there was a rumor that there was going to be Michael Jackson's services held at the Staples Center, and that it would happen around the time that the circus was going into the venue. So it began a crazy few days of my life with nonstop calls from around the world from media trying to find out, you know, if this was indeed true, that this event was going to happen, and that the show be canceled. It was getting, and that was really starting to affect our ticket sales. People, you know, all of a sudden stopped buying tickets to our show because they thought our show was going to be canceled. And that, the reality was, that wasn't the truth. It was not going to affect our shows. This was going to happen the day before we moved in to start our load-in and the performances. But the damage for us was to really get the ticket sales back on track. But the main crisis that the media was looking for was confirmation on whether or not this Michael Jackson thing was actually happening. And so for us, what we had to do was say, well, you know, we can't speak about that. That's not information that we know, but what we do know is this. And so, and what we knew was that our show was going on as planned. So part of it is, you know, understanding in a crisis, whose issue is it? You know, maybe it's a situation that you booked an event into a hotel and or into a city that maybe has some sort of a proposition up for vote, and you know, Arizona had some immigration bills on, and you're bringing people in from around the country who are, you know, upset about the possibility of this law being passed, and you know, you've got to decide, like, okay, you can't really speak on the fact that the law is happening. You know, is the sponsorship of the law, but what you can speak about is what you're interested in, is it? And, you know, why the decision to have your conference there or, and to keep your messages going. It's important, I think, for event people to really create an emergency response plan. I think a lot of people avoid doing this because it can be a little scary and daunting. Google it. Google emergency response plan, and you will start to see all sorts of ideas from the government, from everyone, of, you know, questions that you should be asking yourself. And when you start to ask yourself those questions of, you know, what is the situation, you know, how am I going to handle a situation if it's, you know, if there's a shooting or if there's a nearby natural disaster or some sort of accident, how you're going to do that. So my biggest advice for, you know, crisis communication, it all starts in your planning. You start thinking about any situation that could happen. You prepare for that. So when it does happen, you know, God forbid, that you're prepared. And you know the chain of command of who's going to be responsible for what because you put together a plan of who, of action.
That's certainly coming from someone who's certainly been right there in the ring and have experienced those circumstances that certainly were a surprise without a question. Now, in closing, what are your top three PR tips for anyone planning an event?
It's simple. I think research, knowing who your audience is, who you're trying to reach. So many people put together an event and say, we want everybody to come. Well, yeah, that's nice. Have everybody come. But who are the most important people that your event, your thing is going to appeal to? Know who they are. Know where they live. Know how much money they might have. Know how they spend their free time. Find out what those resources are to be able to communicate with them. Is it going to be newspaper? Is it going to be placing publicity stories? Is it going to be buying advertising or using social media? Planning, I think, is the next biggest tip. You know, define what those goals are and how you're going to reach it. You know, so there's a lot of thought process, I think, that really needs to happen in events. Plan what you hope your outcomes are, and then add your Disney planning to it, and you will start to see how your event will flourish. And I think the most important thing in putting together events is be relevant, creative, and have fun. You know, they're events. You know, we're not going, people are not gathering together to be bored. There are so many events and so many competing things out there, how people can spend their time, that you don't necessarily need to reinvent the wheel, but you can put a little touch, a little twist on it can make your event really sing. There's an interesting guy here in Los Angeles who has started a business where you can hire an entourage, and he will send depending on how much money you have, he will send people out that will act as paparazzi and will act as as bodyguards or screaming fans or, you know, things like that. And you only need to hire a couple of those to create a buzz. And, sometimes it's average citizens that are hiring these people, and sometimes it's event folks, to take it to another level where all of a sudden it adds a new level of excitement in the room. You know, perhaps you're having a big reception and you add something like this. All of a sudden everyone's tittering about it, and people are pulling out their cell phones and they're posting that information on their Facebook page and Twitter, and that brings excitement. So that's taken, you know, maybe a regular reception, the chicken dinner reception that we've all been to 1,000 times, and it's added a different spin on it where it's now an experience. And so I think being creative and fun and relevant to people's lives is really important. I hope all of this can help.
Well, it's certainly rich information, super and phenomenal for those that are looking for information on how to plan the best event, especially involving public relations. Thanks so much. What's the best way or method that our listeners could be in touch?
Email's the best, aperez@zerapa.com. That's APEREZ at Zerapa, Z as in zebra, EREPA.com. It's aperez, forward and backward.
You got to love it. Very creative. And that was Andy Perez, a Los Angeles-based marketing and public relations consultant who has created more than 1,000 events in his career. And his contact information, simply by email, it's aperez@zerapa.com. Andy, once again, thanks so much for being with us here today on Event Talk.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And on the next episode of Event Talk here on EPN, we will be with Phoenix, Arizona-based event and meeting planning professional Julie Wong, discussing the best practices in planning events. And we do thank you for tuning in on Event Talk by Planners for Planners, brought to you by EventInterface.com, an event management and attendee engagement software company. And this has been Eric Dye. This show is supported by EventInterface.com, event management and attendee engagement software. Forget registration transaction fee. Start managing registrations and attendees today for a low monthly fee. Sign up at EventInterface.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.